note to you. It might sound strange, but I wish it would rain. Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people apparently have been wishing it would rain, and here it is. I'm Keith Seinfeld with Cliff Mass for our weekly weather talk. What about you, Cliff? Happy to see some moisture?
I am, and it is raining. In fact, last night it was so exciting to look at the radar on the coast and to see that band of showers approaching after midnight. And it got here. And there's showers over much of western Washington. And we're going to see some increased rain in the morning. And then this afternoon probably should go down to showers before the next meteor front comes in.
Meteor? What do you mean by meteor?
I mean more rain. This band is giving us maybe a tenth of an inch, you know, nothing exciting. But there'll be a break, but then a much stronger front, one that taps the moisture from the subtropics and the tropics, will be pushing in late on Saturday and Sunday. And that's going to produce very heavy showers in the mountains or rain in the mountains. We're talking about some places could get 1 to 5 inches. And then the lowlands here, maybe a half an inch or so. Most of that's going to happen on Sunday as this moisture plume pushes through and then slowly pushes southward over the region.
So you're saying damp through Saturday and then really wet Sunday, and that continues into how far?
Well, the pattern has changed. I mean, the ridge that was over us or to the west of us, which protected us for, you know, months, that's gone. That has moved eastward. And so we are open to what's coming in off the Pacific. And now we have a strong jet stream that has pushed in towards us. And that's going to continue as far as we can see in the computer models.
Well, I thought it was kind of ironic that our long dry spell, our late summer, came to an end on Columbus Day. And it happened to be the 50th anniversary of this incredible storm. I think you called it the storm of the century.
And it may be more than the storm of the century. The Columbus Day storm, which hit on October 12, 1962, was undoubtedly the strongest windstorm to hit the Northwest since the European settlers came in here. And it is probably the strongest non-tropical storm to hit the whole lower 48 states in at least a century. We've had hurricanes that have been a little bit stronger, but this storm was the strongest non-tropical storm to hit virtually anywhere in the country. I mean, it was an extraordinary event.
Sort of like a Hurricane Katrina and how it damaged things?
Well, in fact, if you look at the central pressure, if you look at the winds, you know, you look at what quantifies a storm, it was in every way equivalent to the strength of Hurricane Katrina. In fact, it was worse than Hurricane Katrina because it was bigger than Katrina. And instead of just making landfall and moving inland, the Columbus Day storm paralleled the coast, you know, like a Category 3 hurricane, all the way from Northern California into British Columbia, devastating the whole region. We're talking about 46 people dying. 317 were hospitalized. Over 5,000 structures were damaged or destroyed. Basically, every barn in Western Oregon was destroyed, for example. Power outages hit millions. If you think about the forests, so much timber was taken down, it would be equivalent to about 15 billion board feet. That is equivalent to the amount of wood that it would take to build 500,000 to 1 million homes. I mean, this was an extraordinary event.
And it sounds like it caught everyone by surprise, too.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing. It was unforecast the day before. If you look at the Seattle Times, and I did, you look at the forecast or the official forecast the day before, there was no mention of it. You know, the computer models of the day had a weak low center that was going in south of us. So there was no forecast the day before. Fortunately, during the early morning hours on the 12th, there was a few ships out there, and there were a few observations that were crazy. Pressures were falling madly. Winds were gusting up to 80, 90 miles per hour. That tipped off the forecasters in Seattle and Portland that a big event was coming. And they did get a warning out that morning that people had to worry about a storm up to 75 miles per hour. Well, it turns out the winds were way stronger than that. On the coast at Cape Blanco, the winds were sustained at 150 miles per hour, gusting to 180 before the anemometer broke off. In Portland, they got to 116 miles per hour at the Morrison Street Bridge. I mean, we're talking about winds way over 100 on a lot of locations. So there was a warning out that morning, but it still underplayed it greatly.
Wow. Thanks, Cliff.
Sure.
Cliff Mass is a professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington. He has a lot more fascinating details about the Columbus Day storm via our website. I'm Keith Seinfeld, KPLU News.